I'm Jacques Voigt, the CEO of Catalytic, and this is Unbundled. In today's show, we're doing a little bit of an untraditional format. I thought that it would be good to reflect, seeing that we've come out of this post-pandemic world, to reflect on the world of work. Our focus typically is on the technology that we use at our daily lives, and today I thought let's focus on the human aspect of that. So I'm joined by three lovely ladies. I'm joined by Ande, by Rachel, and by Simpiwe, and I thought let's have a conversational format where we just talk about what the world of work looks like post-pandemic and in this modern world. So I'll start with Rachel. We met about 8 months ago.
Yeah, we did.
And yeah. Then what were you doing at the time?
So I was busy studying my last exams of my degree. And then just before my exam started, I went for my very first interview at Catalytic.
So out of school, into university,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you were studying for your last exam. And just for context, what did you study?
So I studied business management at academia, and it was very different than what I expected the real business world compared to what I was studying.
Okay. So you were studying business
management.
Business management, and I assume in that, in this academic world, they created certain expectations in terms of how things would work in the workplace, how structures would be, and all that.
Yeah, we learned so many different structures, but I think Catalytic structure was so something I didn't expect, because it's very different to what I'm like seeing movies and what we were studying about. And the odd thing was there was a flat structure and we were working in teams, which I thought was the weirdest thing, because I was expecting there to be some type of manager telling us what to do day-to-day basis, but that was not what it was at all.
So on that point, as a side note, Ande and I sit in many, many interviews. Probably one of the worst things that somebody can say to me, you know, you get that question, where do you see yourself in 5 years? If somebody says they want to be a manager, then you go like, why?
We kind of just look at each other.
Because, that's probably one of the worst things. Was there anything that you found in the workplace that you expected, or is everything different?
What I expected is different to what I walked into. I was expecting to walk into a place and somebody would be looking over us the whole time, and basically being managed, I would say.
Micromanaged.
And that was not the case. So when I walked into Catalytic, I was thinking, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to be only doing project. And that was not what it was at all. So then I got involved in our programs, and now I'm sitting here on the podcast as well. So it's very different.
Catching balls,
I would say. It's very different.
So Ande, and then to you, this Catalytic was also your first job out of university.
So I au paired in America for about a year, and then after that I started at Telemasters, which was previous to Catalytic. Obviously me as well, I studied for about 3 years, expected what
for,
you...
For context, what did you study?
BCom Human Resources. I expected what you learned theoretically, and then you get to the practical part of things, and it's just not that at all. I think in the last 3.5-4 years I've experienced stuff that I never thought I would ever experience. So I think what you study and what you learn at school is never what you actually do in real life.
It's interesting that, because we were talking about generations in the workplace, it was interesting to me that everybody expects this hierarchical thing, do you work in a hierarchy?
Yeah, I think so. You have to
the hierarchy of a circus.
I mean, we have a station manager, and then you have like the people that have their own shows, and then there's the producers. Like, there's a bit of a hierarchy,
but not as traditional as you would. Yeah,
it's a lot
corporate.
More of a team. team environment.
Definitely.
Then, I mean, there's obviously, if somebody asks you to do something, you're going to do it, but it's a lot more collaborative if you want to.
Oh, yes. So it's easier. I mean, if there's like a technical issue, I can call the station manager and be like, yo, dude, I'm drowning. And then also, like, day-to-day stuff, you can ask your other colleagues to help you with something. So that's the cool thing about it.
So can I ask you now my favorite interview question? Work-related, we know in personal life what the answer is. So in work-related, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Do you want to be a manager?
Do you want to be a station manager?
You know, all my life, I've always said this. I want to be the next Oprah. That's something I've always said to people, that I aspire to be the next Oprah. So I think in the next 5 years, personalizing that into my life, I would love to really be a full-time content creator.
Okay.
Like, just doing the YouTube things on a full-time basis.
But that doesn't sound like you're going to be bossing lots of people around.
How do you know?
I mean,
you know, like, if I could get paid to travel, then it's done.
Do you want to be a boss lady?
You know, like sipping on a mimosa somewhere in Mauritius.
Yes.
While shouting commands at people.
Oh no, whilst vlogging the entire thing. Oh, okay. My entire life is content, and I can get money for that.
So Rochelle, back to you. What role does technology play in the world of work for you? And is that something that you expected to, was it as big a part of what you expected it to be, or is it?
Well, I think the industry we worked in didn't exist for me at all before I started working at Catalytic. To me, it was just plugging in your Wi-Fi and rebooting
it.
So it's a whole different type of world. There's so many technology components that plays a role in this. And so it's definitely different, and it plays a big role.
And you learn something new every day.
Yeah, no, definitely.
And can you live without the technology?
No. Not just technology, like social media as well. That's something I feel like is a big role. Daily habits is social media, I would say.
Yeah, yeah.
It's on a Maslow scale. Wi-Fi becomes before everything. So, Andre, when you look for somebody to join the team, what do you typically look for? Because and part of the reason why I asked the question is every time virtually every conversation that we have on the show in terms of technology, like you said, this industry almost didn't exist for you, and everybody's talking about how automation and AI is basically taking over menial jobs, and there's a lot of jobs that in the next 5 years that probably isn't defined yet. So what typically would you look for in a candidate?
I think that's a difficult question. I mean, in Catalytic, we've now tried every single person out there, I think, with a success rate of, 50%? So that's a difficult question. I mean, you look at the role and you kind of go, this is what we think we need. This is what we need for the group, especially since we're a flat structure. We try and find people that kind of match the group's expectation at that point. Currently, we're just looking for salespeople, and that's honestly the hardest people to find. I think, yeah, so it's difficult for me to explain what exactly. I think, obviously, your skill set, where you see yourself, and also the way that you conduct your workload or your work life, I think that's important, especially in a flat structure, because we need people that actually commits to the structure and commits to taking responsibility for their actions and being there and a team player and communicating and all of that stuff. So it depends on the role and where we are in that work cycle, I would say.
And I think for me, what that says, and I think Rochelle, you can maybe attest to that, you've got to be adaptable. The days of having a single defined role
is over.
Is over, and you need somebody that can sort of multitask and learn new things on a daily basis. And I think, Andre, in the time that you and I have worked together, we've probably changed the, I don't want to say the company structure, but sort of the colouring on the inside of the lines. We probably change it probably six times or whatever. So you try something, you see
it doesn't work,
some of that works, some of it doesn't, and then you have to adapt. And you, and Rochelle, you sitting inside that structure, you sort of have to be open and just say, okay, right, let's try something new and let's get involved in new things.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the most important thing that we, especially where we are, Catalytic is my only frame of reference. That's where I started. But I think adaptability is the main thing that we are looking for, and that our business structure is made out of. I mean, Rochelle does three different roles in her one project management roles that she probably didn't think she would ever do. Same with me. I do HR, but I do marketing and I do whatever general stuff there is to do. So I think in the new world of work, that is something that people need to adapt to. You need to be able to function in multiple roles at the same time while actually just delivering the one thing that you are actually hired for.
And I think for me, I'm obviously biased, but the way that the world's going to work, all of the stuff that we're looking at in the world of Google or Facebook, they're called Meta now, is small, fast-moving teams, entrepreneurial type spirit, not specifically defined roles, and you just adapt as the requirements of your customer base and technology flows.
And I think people generally think that they are those type of people, and then you get into that scenario, and then you go, this is actually not for me. Like, I need the structure, and I need the hierarchy, and I need to know this is what I do on a daily basis, and I can come here and do this, and my work will be done. I think finding people who actually live above that, or I don't want to say above that, but who wants to be different or adaptable and not just do what you are told to do, I think that's a difficult thing to find. That's not everyone.
So you just made me think one of my favorite 30-minute clips that I've seen was John Sanoi last year at a talk about the tyranny of comfort, and I think as a from a human perspective, people want certainty and let's say comfort. In the world of work, it's probably certainty around, if I do this, I'll be okay, and if I don't do that, I'll be in trouble. But I think the constant message that we keep on talking about is the fact that that certainty is definitely not there anymore. I keep on saying to people, if we had to do a business forecast 2 years ago, just pre-COVID, we would have probably been off the reservation by now.
And then also back to the technology aspect of things, like technology is ever evolving. So obviously, the work that you do also needs to be ever evolving, and you yourself needs to be ever evolving and better yourself and learn new skills every day. Otherwise, you are going to get stuck in 10 years ago.
So Rochelle, what was one of the most difficult things for you to adapt to or get used to? Because I mean, if you look at your team members' makeup, there's across the generations, we've probably got one in every, well, not baby boomers, but from there downwards, there's probably somebody across.
I think the most difficult part, I think I'm the youngest in the company.
I was about to say. Yeah.
And my team consists of people that's in their 50s, 30s. Not 20.
No, you're the only 20.
No, I'm the only 20-year-old. So I'm working with people that's like 10, 20 years older than me, and I would say our mindset's very different. So I guess it's trying to find a way to compromise on their behalf and my behalf, and trying to get an understanding as how we can work together as a team because we think so different. Mm-hmm. So I think that was the biggest challenge, I would say.
Yeah, you're the youngest, and then what are you, the oldest, Jacques?
I was about to say, I think we could skip that one, but clearly that's where we're at now. So, Sims, I want to ask you, and I mean not to name names, but I mean you guys deal with obviously different customers and companies. Also in your speaking world and the content world that you're doing.
Yes.
What's your view on sort of how companies are adapting to this, to maybe a more modern way of looking at how management happens in a company?
Oh, I would say that you get the guys that are able to adapt quickly, and then you get the guys that are still stuck in their ways, and there's no in between. It's either you are with the new trends or you're not, and I think that's what I'm seeing, is that like I will read a lot of online stuff about like social media, for me, when Instagram comes out with a new update, that's a big deal, because that means it's changing the way people are interacting on that platform, but it's also changing how people are receiving content on that platform, which will change the way people see your brand. So that's very important, and some companies don't understand the importance of social media. So if they don't even care about it, it's like, well, you're not going to keep up, and in a few years a lot of people are not going to know what your brand stands for if you don't utilize the platforms out there.
And maybe I can ask you and Rochelle now, do you think that if you look at amongst your peers, do people, when you look for work, when you decide which company to join, is that, do you look at what that structure looks like, or do you say let's get the first job that we can and then moan about it afterwards about how tough it is? Because and the reason I'm asking is because there's all of this talk about post-pandemic, the great resignation, what's it, millennials or whatever, that want to maybe do multiple things, and their values are different. In my generation, we had to go study and get a job so we can we can get a retirement policy.
Yeah, one day, and you can't like your job.
Yeah, well, you don't have to. You must just grin and bear it. So,
well, I think I'm definitely the generation that you speak of, because I think I made one vow of A, not working in corporate. So that was the first part where I was like, I'm not doing that. And I think even with that mentality, like, I want to be in a workspace where I think I can grow and learn. Those are very important things. And learning and growing doesn't mean I'm going to be there forever. I think that's the mind, that's the difference in the younger people, is that I'm not going to be there for 50 years. If I've gotten what I think is beneficial to me, and if I've reached the ceiling in this place, it's time to move on to the new place. And I think a lot of young people look at it like that.
What is that timeline, just so I can make notes on this?
No, but when I speak to people and they go, how long have you been at your current job, and I go, well, about four, well, it's coming to 4 years.
Everyone goes, time.
You need to go, you need to leave.
That's this a long is time.
Like, you've reached it. Like, okay.
Yeah, it's quite like people getting to 5 years is a big deal now. That's how much.
So it's 5 years now, like the 20 years golden watch.
Yeah, that's not normal anymore.
Yeah, we're looking at you and we're like, Chief, what are you doing?
Are you stuck? Yeah.
And I think also a lot of people now have the privilege to do the things that they enjoy. Like, I can say I enjoy content and creating content, coming up with content, and therefore I can even work in a space that allows me to do what I enjoy. As opposed to you, Yaku, where you went and got the degree, whether you wanted to be an engineer or not, you had to do it.
Do you want to ask Yaku what degree he has? Do you know what degree he has?
It's a useless degree. I studied psychology.
No, you can't say it's useless.
And I don't know.
But what do you do?
I was saying, I was saying to Rochelle, when I was studying at university, and I thought I understood people and all that.
Yes.
And now
it's like, nope.
10, 15, 20 years later, whatever.
So, yeah,
I'm not going to be too specific about it, but I understand less about people, and I think the world's changed so much that I don't think what we got taught about how you must think people think work like that anymore. I don't think 5 years is a long time.
But you can also, you can always grow in the business. Like, you start off as a, for example, a project person, and then you grow up into social media or marketing. So you can always find a space where you feel like, okay, this is where I belong.
Yeah. I think that's important in a company, to have the ability to actually be able to see what you like. I mean, if I also, if I only did HR, I probably wouldn't sit here today.
and I think, to me, you know, when we talk to about our customers or to our customers, we always say we've got to understand what the problem is that we can fix for them. We don't go to sell a specific product. The same thing in a business. To me, if somebody within the organization can come and fix a problem or make something in a business better, that's adding value.
Mm-hmm.
I talk about it a lot with people. Well, in fact, Gareth also talks about it quite a bit. It sounds very unemotional when you say, don't talk to me about feelings, talk to me about the outcome. But that's sort of the way that the world works. So you might, in your own world, you might be sitting there thinking, I'm working like a superstar, and meanwhile, you know, you're just shoveling coal there or whatever, and it doesn't make a difference one way or the other. But if you can meaningfully fix a problem or make a process in the business better or contribute something to that, I think that's sort of where the value would be in a business. And then my little lesson that I gave to Rochelle in the car this morning, the one thing, Simpson, it's maybe relevant for you as well. There's certain things that's universal in the world, regardless if you're running a non-profit or a business or anything like that. There's always money involved. You have to do sums. You have to do some admin, which is not always that great. And I think, you know, as you pointed out, you must go and do those different things so you can learn and be well-rounded. So if you want to do your own thing, at least you at least know what you're doing. Not like me when I started my first business and I was used to having accounting departments and people doing stuff for me. And then when I was on my own, it was all me. So you learn quickly then what's valuable in life and in business.
Mm-hmm.
I think this was so. What I hoped that we could do is maybe give some of our listeners and customers maybe a different view on sort of how people look at it. I've got to be honest, it's something I spend a lot of my thinking time on, and like I said, I don't understand it. I don't understand this millennial thing where they go 3 years or 4 years is a long time, but it's the reality for the business. And then I think and we've got to find a mechanism where we can let all of the different generations sort of become their best and work to the benefit of the business. So I think I personally believe it's something that every single business owner or MD struggles with, if you want to call it that, or thinks about, and it's always good to hear a bit of a different point of view that we can, you know, put that in our pipe and smoke it and see if we can maybe adapt our thinking, you know. So it's not only the team members that have to adapt, you know. Sometimes as a leader of a business, you also have to think, okay, well, maybe I must let it go or accept it. We must do it in a different way.
Yes. Okay. I will add, I think we're living in an era where the employees know their worth. And I think before, that wasn't the case. And so I walk into an organization saying, I have this skill set. What can you do for me? And I think that's what has really caused the shift in conversation and the shift in how people work. And the reason why people can resign, because they're like, well, I have the skill set. I can do this anyway.
Yes.
In fact, I can do this working from home for a company that's in Europe.
Yeah.
But that, look, so that's it's an interesting debate that for me, because this sort of, I don't want to call it piecework, but contract work where you can deliver, you can freelance and you can deliver value to multiple businesses and maybe have a more well-rounded offering. In return for that, you then sacrifice the security of a monthly salary. The way that you're going about it, I would love it if somebody came into our business and say, listen, I know what I can do, da 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 da. And in fact, every time when we have that conversation, I always say, yeah, okay, cool, let's have a look, let's see. But there's got to be a trade-off, you know, and I think that's the reality, you know, that you have to have on the other side is there's got to be a trade-off for the business, you know. I always say, you know, somebody's got to give first. I think it's such an important thing, and anybody that's sitting owning a business that's anything above 40 has got to think about that differently, and it's hard to accept because it's not that easy to, you know, if you've got 30 or 40 people coming to you and say, I know my worth and what are you going to do for me, becomes a little bit of a hamster wheel for the people sitting on the other side of the table.
Yeah, you always say an interview, what's your favorite interview say thing?
It's something I read late last year. They say an interview is a conversation between two liars.
Yes.
Because you're going to promise me the world and I'm going to tell you where the best place ever.
Someone's lying.
And often it doesn't work like that.
But then also, I went from high school straight into university, so I didn't have anything to offer when I started my first job. And that's not what Yaku told me in my interview, by the way. He told me that Catalytic is a place where I can get a lot of experience, something I don't have. So usually when you do go see the job requirements, you're like, you need to study this and this and have 10 years experience of that. But how do you get the experience if you don't get the chance to? And that's something that I'm very grateful for, is having that chance to get the experience and learning like so many things from different people in the company. So there's also that part.
And for me, that is, well, I think there's a lot of people that use this thing. I don't know who came up with it, but there's a lot of people that say you hire for attitude and then you train the skill. So I think to me, if I can come back to you, I like that confident attitude or whatever, but I mean ultimately it's all about the attitude, and that's what I'm saying. As long as you go with the attitude to say, I'll make the business whole in the process, you know, what can a business do for me, but I'll make sure that the business benefits in the process, then I think that's something that's probably a workable trade-off. And then again, I just have to say, 2 years is just too short. Okay, thank you, everybody. I hoped we gave a bit of a view on sort of you know, what the different thought processes in a business can be, and how us as business call it leaders or owners need to change our thinking, and also hopefully for the younger ones listening, you know, be bold, try something, and be willing to do lots of different things. And again, my last thing that I'll say, however you look at your relationship to the business, if you can make a friction or a problem or a process in the business go away or make it better, you'll add value and you'll be valuable to the business, and the business will look after you. There's no two ways about that. Thanks for listening to Unbundle, brought to you by Catalytic, a series that aims to boost business in South Africa. Remember that you can listen to all of the episodes on the Cliff Central app or website. And for added convenience, you can subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, Google, or wherever you listen. And if you want to know more about Catalytic, please visit catalytic.co.za, or you can also visit us at our Midrand office. CliffCentral.com